Blog Talk Radio.
Really?
That is not cute. Not cute at all.
Mm-mm. It was fine right up until... It is the weirdest thing. Right before we go on, then it starts doing that. Blash is not going to be happy ruining his work.
Mm-mm. That's...
I don't even know why.
That's not at all cute. Oh, my God.
You all out there, if we sound like robots, tweet us.
Yeah. I'm about to find out because...
it was just fine.
We're going to need like a hard boot or something because, oh, my God.
I mean, it was just absolutely perfect and fine.
Checking it out, Blog Talk and Girls Radio. Checking it out. Checking it out.
I have a new addiction.
Oh, what you got?
I'm addicted to Village Life on Facebook.
I've not played it, so I don't know anything about it.
It's very good for a Facebook simulator. I'd be impressed. It's made by those people that made the Gourmet Ranch one. Gourmet Ranch is pretty detailed. I haven't had to sit down and play with it properly in, you know, the past year or two since it's been out. But, yeah, Village Life is nice. How do we sound there, Ginger?
Sound good, I think. We sound good, I think. I had to listen for a couple of seconds, but, I mean, I think we sound all right. I think we sound all right.
Well, people, if we sound robotish to you, let us know.
Yes. So good morning, Miss Corey. How are you, lady?
I'm good. I would like to say good morning to Miss Heather Hooks and her Next Gen Gamer. She has a picture of her up on Facebook with her Star Wars headset on, and she got a serious gamer face. She's probably like 4 or 5. That's what I'm talking about.
Aww.
Oh, no, she brought it to work. Ah, Heather, adorable. Heather, adorable. Heather, I knew you before you had a little clone. She looks... I can't wait
before,
to tell her.
Before.
Yes, I can't wait to tell her mommy about the club incident. Yes. I will be telling all.
Well, all right.
Yes, when she's a teenager, though, so I can really make it sting for you.
I can't wait to see this. This is going to be cool.
Oh, by the way, so I was telling Ginger, my Village Life addiction, I have characters named after all of us. I think you are somebody's 12-year-old daughter. Yeah, you're all's daughter.
I'm your all's daughter. Interesting.
Yes.
Well, you know, as long as I'm not going to die a horrible death, it's all right.
And your all is looking for love. So if anybody else wants to play Village Life, so your all can have a wife. He's a single dad up in my game. I'm sorry, Raw. I didn't know it was going to work out that way. Whenever you grow up and have a baby, it's Snow's going to be your daughter.
Aww.
Aww. That's going to be interesting once the names start popping up. You're like, hey, wait a minute. Why is my name
up in your...
Why my name? Your what hurts? Your sacroiliac. Do we want to know how you hurt your elbow?
I don't know how I hurt my elbow.
You know how you hurt your elbow.
No, I know how I hurt my other elbow. I ran into the wall.
Is that what we're calling it nowadays?
Wow, I wish I could blame that on that. I cannot, however, blame my elbow hurting on that. Other parts being all stiff.
Hey, see, she starts going into detail. We don't need detail. We like
that. All stiff. Anyways,
hey!
So.
Y'all get y'all's Ginger. She's out of paper.
Yeah, you know what? Corey starts this.
I just started. You don't have to finish it. You're supposed to giggle and look away shyly. That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. How long have I hung around y'all? Mm-hmm.
I don't know what.
All right, so anyways, let me get to sharing my screen so that I can show you all this. Have you heard about this? All Points Bulletin Vendetta.
Oh, so we get the new APB?
Yes. Oh, seriously, my girly parts are tingling just thinking about it.
Rawr.
I'm going to play this video and I'm going to put a little bit of sound.
Yes.
APV Vendetta shoots dives into Kickstarter as an acrobatic FPS.
Oh my god.
MMO APV Reloaded escaped capital punishment once already. It was picked up when the studio picked up the shelved title in 2011 after dwindling player numbers and the demise of original developer Real Time Worlds, almost sent it into death row. Now that we're getting another APB, but it's a gun of an entirely different caliber, an agility-based multiplayer shooter. That first guy, rawr. Anyways, they've got a Kickstarter campaign where it's asking for $300,000 in 30 days. So far, it's got 94 backers and raised $11,916. Oh. Got 33 days to get. So what's the pitch? APB Vendetta is a character-driven, extreme mobility competitive shooter inspired by the APB Reloaded universe and built on an entirely new high-agility game system featuring extreme movement mechanics, melee combat, dual-wield weapons, character-specific finishing moves, a fighting game ethos, customizable private servers, modding tools, and the latest version of Unreal Engine 3.
Oh, I just had a game orgasm.
I know, right? Oh, my God. Vendetta is an APB-ified riff on the fluid perker of Mirror's Edge and the gunplay theatrics from popular mods Action Half-Life and The Specialist, both of which drew inspiration from John Woo films and The Matrix. In addition to loudly clothed criminals thumbing their nose at the law as before, we'll now get loudly clothed criminals thumbing their noses while cartwheeling upside down off a drain pipe. Vendetta will have 12 characters, 3 archetypes to choose from, split down a variation of the standard light, medium, and heavy setup, with a few special exceptions. The lumbering juggernaut, for example, actually sprints the fastest because of a special charge move. That is so hot. Oh my God, so hot.
That is sexy. That is mad sexy.
Of course, Vendetta won't be free to play. It's a buy to play, giving players all guns, characters, and game affecting items up front after a one time cost, with the option to purchase monthly server rentals for on demand, managed, and modded servers.
Nice.
Progression and damage systems have to be tightly controlled in free to play games. With Vendetta, we're instead taking a portion of the APB world, turning it into a experience where the community can participate in reworking the game design on their own servers. Oh, it is so hot. So hot.
I'm Hold so on. Happy I've, they I've survived.
To, yeah, I've got to get this picture up so that I can show y'all. This is a hot, so hot picture.
Is it from the game?
So hot. It is. It's of the characters. I've got to show it to you.
Oh, character art is always hot.
I know, right? Corey's all talking in that voice, and she wants to wonder what she, you know.
I have nothing to do.
Worked up, right?
Hey, somebody did it to me. I'm just passing along the savings to you. All right,
hold on. There we go. There is the character art right there. Look at that. I recognize the blue haired chick on the left. But those bigger guys, those are new.
New, yeah. Those tanks, new. Huh?
Yeah, the little girl on the right with the mask, that is from the Birth expansion in APB. And so is the other guy that's on the floor.
I like the one with the orange hood, the girl with the orange hoodie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say I'm walking something like that, but in APB, mine is colored.
It's what color?
Rainbows. It's all mostly colors. It's rainbow.
You have a rainbow thing going on nowadays. What's that about?
I don't know. I've like left behind the whole all dark and black and slutty look, and I've kind of been going with the whole rainbow cutesy look. Oh, look at me. I'm adorable as I shoot you in the face.
Why?
I don't know, because it's cute. And you know it's cute. You know it's adorable.
I'm going to run away now and hide.
Sexy. So this is Vendetta. Their Kickstarter page will tweet this out for all of you. Please go donate some money. I want to play this game. I'm not sure what I think about it being a, you know, buy it thing and the servers. I'm a little bit afraid of people being douchebags with their servers.
Well, that's why we will have our own.
Yeah, that's true. We will have our own. And I'll be like, bitches, you play right or out. I will tear you up.
You out.
Out so hard.
I'll
have to come up with a mod where I can tear your avatar apart or something, because we're playing that. Okay, so that has been tweeted out. Ginger, at Ginger, G-I-N-G-I-R-R. Check it out. God, I want to play it. I want to play it.
Yeah. I'm having some issues. I'm having some issues over here.
Really?
We're experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by. Okay, give me that firearm. I'm having some issues.
Firearm? What firearm?
I sent you a bunch of, yeah, a bunch of links. My first one.
Oh,
yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah, I'm all organized this morning. I am a machine.
You are. And for some reason, Skype never dinged me to let me know that you're sending them.
I am a machine.
Because I usually try to get these up when you do.
Yep, you got hold of them. All right, while we wait for the ginger. Snail Games. Snail Games said they're very proud to announce the latest expansion for Firearm Era for their MMORPG Ministry of War, and it has officially launched. In the expansion, you can choose between China, Rome, Egypt, and Persia to expand your territories with military, cultural, and economic approaches to conquering the world. Based on the savage, dark, feudal castle and ages in previous versions, a sixth age is added to the expansion, the Firearm Era. In this age, you're able to experience fiercer warfare with new units such as musketeers and artillery. Yes, there were really musketeers, people. Not the candy bar. Compared with the previous ages, each country you choose may utilize these new firearm units, swiftly changing the tides of battle. There will not only be conflict between the older units and firearms, but also between firearm units. So this sixth age signals the change of the Middle Ages, changes that happened during the Middle Ages, and delves deeper into the architecture of various cultural types. Yay. They're also calling this the Ministry of War Introduction. It's a real-time strategy game, which will allow you to build an almighty empire in the ancient world by growing an epic army in your empire, overthrowing your opponent, and you get closer to the ultimate destination of world domination. That's our job. Ministry of War, you must choose an ancient faction. I'm sorry, I really have a lisp really badly because I had some more of that Snickers ice cream y'all saw me mention on Facebook. My tongue is a little numb. Be it the Romans, the Persians, the Egyptians, or the Chinese. Once your nation has been decided, you embark to loyally fight to the death for them as you rewrite the history books. Only through close alliances and unity and allies.
Man, those dogs look vicious.
Right? You'll succeed in winning the war. You can go over to the... I'm kind of interested here.
This looks kind of like Age of Empires, Age of... Gods or something like that I played. And I liked that. I was the chick with all the walls built up. And everybody was like, you're not playing knight. And then they'd cry even harder when I came out at the end, after they'd wasted all their resources trying to take me down. And I'd have this massive army.
Yeah, that's the main strategy of the game, is that you just defend against who's ever coming long enough for you to build up as much resources as the game will allow. Like Warcraft. That was my specialty. You didn't want to play against me. I would just keep, building up stuff and keep building it. And my friend, remember, this was before, you could do it over the internet, but would be at my house sitting on the other side going, how come you haven't attacked me yet? Oh, it's coming. Don't worry. So he'd come over and try to attack. I'd kill his guys off. And then one time I'd go over. I got like 80 guys. Bam, I'm done with you. I decimated your village.
Yeah, I would wait until I had like the highest research out there. And then I would start massively building my army and send it out. And I'd send it out in one big wave. So there was no defending against it because...
No survivors.
they'd have like five little guys guarding their little towns because they'd have their little 20-man army off doing whatever.
Yes.
And here come my 80-man arm just swarm.
I
would tear everything. I'd leave nothing for them to rebuild. I'd tear up every building before I moved on.
Exactly.
And they're all beating on my walls trying to get through.
That's the first thing you do. I mean, you always think. Oh, okay. And anyway, by the way, you can check this game out at mow.playsnail.com if you're interested in playing. But we always think the guys are better at strategy, but some of y'all just aren't. It seems like that would be commonplace. The first thing you do is fix your wall so that you have time to build up your resources. If you keep people out long enough for you to build it up, then it's easy to go and just decimate them. Like Spore, oh man. You haven't played Spore yet, have you?
I have not played Spore. I've heard it's Excellent.
Well, when you get past the spore stage and you start getting into the villages, like you can play with some people online. I have wiped out entire species, like 4 or 5 villages in one swoop, because that's what I do. They'll come over and they'll, you know, people come and they do a couple of things and they'd attack or kill a few of my people. I'm like, mm-hmm. I go over there with like 30 people and I got the spellcasters, you know, burning down stuff, and then I got my guys tearing down their hut, because there's one hut, and this is the only thing I want to tell because I don't want to spoil it for Ginger or the rest of you, but there's one hut in every village that is like the heart, and that's always what I go for. I'm burning that one down first and tearing it down. Once that's gone, that's it. I have wiped out an entire species. It's gone. See, and that's how you're supposed to do it. Guys, stop trying to run over and, you know, be whoever, who's the latest action hero now? Christian Bale, you're not Batman. You're not a one-man army. Not when you're
not Batman. You're not Batman. Uh-uh.
Yeah, Batman Sorry. Can maybe take on 6 or 7 people at once, but 80, I think not. Bring it, Batman. So you need to come in there and bring it if you're going to play these games against me. I hear there's a new populace coming, and I can't wait. Some of you, I can't wait to just decimate you playing populace.
I've not heard about populace, so I know nothing about it.
Ginger, populace was kind of the same thing, but you had one woman in the village, and she was the queen. She ran everything. She's the most powerful, and you'd go over and just decimate and kill whoever else's queen was in their village. But my queen, I always built her power up at the same time, you know, making the village stronger, and then I'd create all the guys. And then I'd send them in. I'd send them after, because you have a little priest that can convert the players to be on their side. I send all the guys after all the priests after that, as soon as we got there. And then I'd have her just raining fireballs down on the village. Everything's on fire. Everybody's
nice.
On fire. Got to have a strategy, people. And all of you always fell for it. I played online with some of you. Some of you suck at strategy. Just don't play. And then cry. And they said the same to me. You're not playing fair. You're supposed to do it this way. No, I'm supposed to win. That's what I'm supposed to do.
If I win, yeah, baby.
Yeah, that's why your village is on fire and I'm still here.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
All right, we got to do more news.
All right. More news. All right. Yeah, it's my turn. All right, so Pennsylvania.
Go ahead.
Home of some strange, crazy people. Pennsylvania Stadium aims to please fans with urinal video games. That's right, urinal video games. Play doesn't need to stop for sports fans taking a bathroom break at a Pennsylvania minor league baseball stadium that has installed video games in the men's room urinal.
Ew.
The hands-free video game is played by directing oneself right or left in the urinals at the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs Coca-Cola Park in Allentown, Pennsylvania. The game is aimed at increasing prostate health awareness.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. The video screen challenges players to steer their way along a snowmobile course while trying to hit cartoon penguins. They also display messages reminding men to make an appointment for a prostate exam. Names of high scorers deft enough to hit the target mirrored on a 12-inch LCD screen above the urinal will appear on contestants' urinals on the video displays in the ballpark. The hands-free urinal players can go by their full name, part of their name, or pseudonym when their scores are tallied. The urinal video games will commence when the baseball games start for the Iron Pigs, a minor league team affiliated with the Philadelphia Phillies. The team opens its 2013 season next week with an exhibition game. The Iron Pigs bought the restroom entertainment described as the world's only truly hands-free urinal game control from Captus Media. They're based in the United Kingdom. While the games have been placed in bars in the United Kingdom, their appearance in the Allentown Stadium marks a first in the world of sports. That's coming from Ed Gundrum, who oversees the sales for the company in the U.S. They told us with certainty that it's not in any other sports venue in the world, says Schaefer. The pee-controlled video games, which were undergoing calibration on Wednesday, are in bars in the United Kingdom. Yeah, you already told us that. Wow. All right, so the games are part of a marketing agreement with Lehigh Valley Health Network and are intended to remind men about the importance of prostate health. Good on you, but... Ew, and all I got to say is that these are in urinals, and if you're going to put the name in, I hope it's voice-controlled, voice-activated.
Right? Oh!
Because otherwise, that screen is effing disgusting. Ew.
Jay said, and Jay says, the only urinal game should be there at a stadium is one that involves aiming. I agree, too, because I don't want anybody taking their hands and putting that is nasty.
Disgusting, gross, ew.
Can you imagine if they had a game like that for us in the bathroom? Oh, come on. Now, this is not
well,
the place.
Well, this is definitely an aiming game, if you think about it, Jay, because, you know, you got to aim. Yeah. So, but ew. 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 Ew.
You know, I would think if you were trying to remind men to get a prostate exam, why not actually go to the video game developers and say, hey, can we put a message in there? You know, at some point during the game, during a loading screen, you know, by the way, don't forget to get your, guys, don't forget to, you could do a 2-for-1. Guys, don't forget to get your prostate checked. Women, don't forget to get the boobies checked. And, you know, then on to the next part of the game. It's kind of a quick subliminal thing. This right here is just nasty. Guys, I'm sorry. I feel bad for y'all.
That's one way of saying it.
Disgusting,
gross, ew.
All right. Well, this is sure to be a topic of discussion later tonight, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Make sure you are listening to This Week in Gaming. But at today, GDC 13 out in on the West Coast there, we tried to get Ural to go, and he said no. Thanks, Ural. No, I'm kidding. He didn't. He had a reason for not going. It's a very good one. But today they had the number one reason to be panel. If you don't know what that is, a couple months ago, the women and developers were posting reasons to be in the gaming industry, being female, or things that had happened to them, or reasons why they'd left the industry behind. So they grabbed a very diverse group of women from the gaming industry and put them on stage like they like to do us. Those panels are a little harsh, I got to tell you. Man, I will do another one at some point, but yeah, this is not one-on-one I wouldn't want it to be on. As militant as I am, I would have been really quiet or extremely loud and screaming, throwing people at stuff. But anyway.
No throwing people at stuff. That'd be bad.
No throwing people at stuff? But I can throw stuff at people, right?
Yeah.
Good.
That's totally acceptable.
But each woman today explored a different issue. Actually, this might have been yesterday. No, it's today. I guess it happened earlier today. Each woman explored a different issue, ranging from minority issues to E3's booth bay policy. In her presentation, Gemma Sutra, editor-at-large, Lee Alexander, that's right, the woman that runs Gemma Sutra, she talked about being a positive force and role model in the history in the industry. As she said, the biggest challenge women in particular have in the industry is not that there's too many booth babes at E3. We're part of a system. If more people would simply be willing to be human and patient instead of righteous, we would have healthier working culture. She said it's not about policing displays of sexuality. To me, the question is this a positive female character or is this a heroic female character, which is along the lines of what we say here. It's not so much as a booth babe, it's that they pick people or women who are not gamers. They have no idea what they're selling. They're just standing there to be cute. They're the model hired for the day. And as she's saying, she says, I don't want to have to be tough or positive. I just want to be treated with respect and empathy. And that's what I want for my colleagues as well. She also further, Microsoft Studios game designer Kim McAuliffe told the audience about her problem with the fact that the player is always assumed to be male. She explained that one of her first games was The Sims 2 for Nintendo DS, which had the option to flirt with NPCs. As originally conceived, the game lacked attractive options for female players. Yeah, mm-hmm. You think they made the guys ugly.
Yes.
But after the issue was pointed out, the team worked hard to create equal options for both genders. She also related how uncomfortable her experience was with being one of the developers on the SOCOM series due to the violent content. She said she worked on SOCOM 4. But it made her very uncomfortable. She said she felt she did wrong by the designers because she wanted to learn something that was outside of what was currently considered to be the core, and she wanted to work on games for kids and families, and lo and behold, along came Minecraft that she got to work on, I'm guessing. So there's a ton of this we'll be talking about tonight. There's also a woman over at Metacritic, Maddie Bryce, was talking about the industry and their narrow focus on certain types of games, which I have to agree with, but we'll be talking about that later. Oh, also, our girl who we'll be having on as soon as GDC is over, you're all going to yank her in for an interview, Brenda Romero, a.k.a. Brenda Brathwaite, whose name I never can say. I'm sorry, Brenda, don't cut me, is also talking about she was getting on to E3 for their position on booth babes at their event and I have to do this, and then we're going to move on. She says, I don't care, do whatever you want to, but it caused a lot of issues with people who were present. It created a sexually charged environment, and she said, for me, it felt like I was walking through a construction site. And it does, and if you've seen Brenda, you know why she feels this way. Brenda is a very curvy, cute, adorable, sexy grown woman, but she's beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And it is, if you happen to walk through E3, and you happen to be, well, you know what, you just happen to be female. Some of you guys, not all of you, I know who you are, our nice guys that listen to us. Some of you out there are some piggies. They think every girl there is a booth babe. So yeah, we'll be having some interesting chatter tonight about this. Gonna be fun.
I can't wait to have this conversation. So this will be very interesting.
Look, and in case some of you need validation, Brenda is married. Yes, she is married to John Romero. Yes, there's a connection there. And John is hot, too. That's a hot couple right there. Just all kinds of hot. Just, I post syrup on both of y'all. Just.
Oh, right. Very right. Very right.
Cut me. She's going to cut me. She's been a long-time friend of our show and of our site, and kind of supporter when we ask her for support. She tells us we have to tell her. We need some help. Anyway, go on, dude.
Yes, it is time for the show. Hello, Horace. Good morning. Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Jim.
You know,
it's all late. I know, right? I know, all right. So late. So late, people. So late. Okay, so New Jersey Assemblyman, the guy up on the screen right now, proposed bill to fine video game retailers. Yeah. Oblivious to a Federal Trade Commission report released this week that said that only 13% of underage secret shoppers it deployed as part of a secret shopper survey program in 2012 were able to buy video games from national retailers. New Jersey Assemblyman Sean T. Keene, a Republican from Monmouth and Ocean, has proposed a bill that would fine retailers for selling mature or adults only to minors and others. And another that would allow minors to buy these same games with parental consent. Yeah. The first proposal prohibits the sale of any video game with an ESRB rating of mature or adults only to a person under the age of 18. Violating this law would carry a fine of up to $10,000 for first offense and up to $20,000 for each subsequent offense. In addition, I know, make a noise. I'm going to boot on a second. Anyways, violating this law would carry a fine of up to $10,000 for a first offense, $20,000 for the second offense. In addition, the Attorney General would be given the legal authority to issue cease and desist orders against the retailer and award punitive damages to the minor. A separate bill would be permitting minors to purchase video games containing mature and adult content only if their parent or guardian is present during the purchase and gives their consent verbally or in writing at the time of the sale. Penalties for any violence are the same as with the first bill. The second bill actually undermines the first bill in a lot of ways because you don't want children bringing notes to retailers saying their parents said they could buy an age-inappropriate game because there is a lot of room for children to bend the truth in order to get what they want. True story, I used to do that. So parents can currently buy any games they like for their children. They don't need another law to cover that. I don't know. The ESRB's ratings are designed to alert parents to the content of the games. However, they do not preclude a retailer from selling them to minors, says Keene. The bottom line is in games rated mature or adults only should not be sold to minors. The games are very often violent, sexually explicit, and deal with things not appropriate for children. Okay, my thought on this is I like where he's going with this. I do, because so many people are like, and as Corey's seen, people will buy games without knowing what it is for their kids. They'll just be like, oh, my kid says they want this, and I'm going to buy it. And then when she's told them, they've been like, oh, well, I don't want my kid to have this. So on one hand, having a parent be there and have to actually sign might give them enough, say, to stop and think, all right, if I'm having to sign for this, there's something with this game that may not be good for my child. Let me find out why.
Well, I already said we already have ID. We already have IDs with the strip on it. I said all we need is somebody to make the software where it registers a parent provided this ID, and the store clerk can check, you know, against the person standing there, you know, you're responsible. So even if you weren't able to be there and some other kid, because, you know, if your kid's 16 and they're hanging out with 18-year-olds, this 18-year-old is legally an adult. They can still buy the game for them. Mm-hmm. But even it puts even the 18-year-old at, say, hey, if you buy this for your friend, you're responsible if something happens. You know, you're going to be held responsible. So here you go. Let's go ahead and swipe your ID. We got it on file. Who bought the game? And I don't mean registered in the form of, in the form of we want to keep track and find you for other reasons. But, yeah, there should be a database that shows who bought this game. And especially when they go to return it. Again, you got to swipe it to return it, too. You're selling it so that we know that it came back. You know, it's not out wherever it's supposed to be. And I know people hate that, but this is the only way gaming is going to change our public image, because it's horrible and it's not our fault, but we still have to defend, you know, kind of what we were saying with the game earlier. You got to put your walls up and defend so that you can be ready for when the attack comes. You're supposed to be ready. Mm-hmm. So, and we're not ready most of the time.
No.
Wait a minute. I gave you some more links. Yay. It's time.
Hey, let me get that link up.
It's time for our other favorite developers, Telltale Games. They didn't really give me a full press release. Telltale, y'all are so odd. I guess it is kind of full. They have a new game out. Let's put it that way. Let me get back to the meat here. Telltale Games has a new game series based on Fables, Will Willingham's Fables, and it's going to be out this summer on consoles, PCs, and Macs. And the name of the game is called The Wolf Among Us. And again, it's going to be on, let's see, Xbox Live Marketplace, your PlayStation Network, your PC, your Mac, and I'm pretty sure somebody will throw a Linux in there somewhere. And this is supposed to be... Well, this game, why can't I not talk today? The ice cream just messed me all up. The Fables is supposed to be a consistent New York Times bestseller, and it's one of DC Entertainment's longest-running series published under its Vertigo imprint since 2002, and they have over a dozen Eisner Awards, including Best Writer, Best New Series, and numerous wins for Best Serialized Story. The Fables universe, not Fable the game, but Fables universe, has become one of the richest mythologies in the world of comics. Those of you who read comics know this one. Imagining the characters like Snow White, the Big Bad Wolf, and Pinocchio from the world's most beloved storybooks are real. Real and living among us, all with their powers intact. Right? Fantastic. Okay, so this is supposed to be set prior to the event seen in the first issue of Fables, the comic book series. The Wolf Among Us puts you in the role of, you guessed it, Big B Wolf. A.K.A. Big Bad Wolf, a man once infamously known as the Big Bad Wolf. He's now the sheriff of a hidden community in New York City, exiled from the land of fairy tales. Big B is tasked by the Bureau, by the Bureaucrat Snow White to keep order within a society of mythical creatures and characters trying to remain undetected in the world of the mundane. From the chain-smoking member of the Three Little Pigs to the car-stealing Mr. Toad itching for his next wild ride, The Wolf Among Us examines the lives of beings straight from the pages of myth and lore and now trying to survive on the meanest and most rundown streets of New York. You can pop over to their Facebook, their official website as well.
So neat.
It does, doesn't it? It's at the TelltaleGames.com/Wolf Among Us. And they do not have an actual trailer. I told Ginger to put the website because I thought it was cool looking website even. He looks like he would be the
It
big
is
guy.
Very cool looking.
Just it's very subtle. Look at him. He looks so menacing and hot.
Yeah. All right.
Their Facebook page. So if you were wanting to check out their Facebook page, just go check out ours. I just click like.
All right, so Death Goat, yes, you did hear me say that right. Heavy Metal and Xbox Gaming collide in Death Goat. Xbox Live Indie Games gets an incredible heavy metal soundtrack for a bloody addictive arcade game. Nocturnal Studio today released their first title for Microsoft's Xbox Live Indie Game service titled Death Goat. Death Goat is a bloody twin-stick shooter featuring hordes of brutal enemies and eardrum-destroying heavy metal. Death Goat features music of Between the Buried and Me, God Forbid, Holy Grail, Vanisher, Conqueror, Immortal Guardian, Lorelei, and Ovid's Withering. Music has always been an important part of the gaming experience for us, says Brian Ferreira, creative director for Nocturnal Studio. We assembled a mix of both signed and unsigned artists for this game with the intention of introducing some amazing music and an addictive arcade game to new fans. All right, so Death Goat is available right now on Xbox Live Indie Games. They did not give me a price, so I cannot tell you how much it would be. And because of that on silent, I don't know whether or not the music's any good. But hopefully it is, so let us know. Yay!
All right. A wave of the future is a-coming.
Really?
Yeah, there's more news about this Apple, this iWatch business. There is a rendering floating around. Well, I don't know if I can show you this rendering. I suppose I could. Let me see if I can get... Nope, I can't get it to blow up. Okay, so you'll have to do without. But I want you to picture it. It's a clear piece of a little something around your arm, and your the time shows up and the date. It's like a watch, but it's not a little window. It's just on the cuff, like a bracelet, Ginger, like a really big bracelet. And then there's the button like it has on your phone, slide to unlock. I want you to picture that in your head. Also, it has at the top, just like your cell phone, the power bars and all that stuff, the battery life, hot, right? So Apple has registered the patent for this today. It reveals that it's thinking about a flexible wraparound display built on transparent housing.
Wraparound.
It's likely a design direction for a curved future iPhone, but it's also possibly a stealth patent for an iWatch that makes it a little more sense than the previously what we were just talking about. Apple's new patent is for a consumer electronic product with a flexible display that rolls up when it's needed and unrolls if desired. This technology already exists. Remember, we told you about the Verizon that had the flexible screen. So it's possible this could be done. Apple says that in the patent, Apple says that it could fit within a conical glass housing, a flattened oval, which would allow the display to be visible on any portion of the device. So if you turned your hand, you know, inside, it would move there. Hot, right? So in other words, your iPhone no longer has a front or a back, just whatever side you happen to be looking at. The device is patented includes facial recognition, user sensing technology that determines which side is actually within your field of vision at any given time. It also selectively displays content and controls only where you can actually see them. As such, it's an interesting response to Google's backside control patent. Remember we told you about that? You'd be able to flip your phone over on either side and, you know, do it that way. That one describes controls built into the back of your phone, which allows you to flip screens, turn pages, control music without taking up the front screen real estate. Apple has previously patented similar backside controls, but this is off the chain. If you go surfing around the web, you should be able to find some renderings of what they have put in the patent. And again, there's a picture that I cannot share because it's not ours and I don't have permission to share. But if you look around, I'm sure you can find it. Looks absolutely awesome. Actually, I'll share it with Ginger because I can show Ginger. I just can't show you. Ginger, look at that. That's a picture at the top of the page there. And go,
oh. Let me see.
Yeah, go take a look at that. Of course, the concept they're saying.
Oh, my God, I want that.
Yeah, isn't that hot? It could go with all your clothes for girls, guys, too.
Yeah, I would wear that.
Yeah, I would wear that, too. I like it. It makes a whole lot of sense to have it right there on your wrist, especially for me, because I always have a bunch of stuff in my hand, like all the time when I go out. I usually try to simplify.
So this is a phone?
This is a rendering of what people are believing that they're patenting. This is what they're thinking the end result will look like.
I'd wear the hell out of that.
Yeah, and just be on the phone all the time. Hello!
No kidding, right? Especially, you know, I mean, I wonder what... You'd almost have to have a Bluetooth device to go in the ear.
It's going to have to, because this is not going to be pretty to have something plugged into this, you know, on your wrist.
Yeah. But that is really...
Isn't it gorgeous? Isn't it absolutely gorgeous? Can you just reach down and slide it and then, you know, tap a button? See, it's got a power button.
I'll slide it.
Good Lord. But hello. Yes. What time is it? Oh, yes. Look at your wrist. It's 8:20. Oh, imagine. And looks like it has a little camera. But again, this is a rendering. I don't know if it's going to look like what it's going to look like. I doubt that they can do this completely clear because, you know, you have parts and things that are going to have to go inside. So it would be nice if this worked this way. But I think we're about 20 to 30 years out before it looks exactly like this.
Yeah.
But if they do it in the next few months or years, that they're saying, you're still going to have some visible pieces and microchips and things that you can see, but still makes it all kind of awesome. If I can get that in red, please, red.
That's so cool. God, I want that. That'd be awesome, you know, if it has some way of tinting when you're wearing it. You know, you just set the tint on the clear glass,
ooh,
whatever.
Oh, Ginger, don't say that's so delicious. Just change the color. I'm wearing blue today. Bam.
I know, right? Oh, my God, that'd be hot.
I found blue.
So gorgeous. Man, all right, that's it. I'm moving to the EU. That's all there is to it. Proposal for 30 Mbps broadband for everyone in the EU by 2020. Under a new proposal put forward this week as part of the European Union's Digital Agenda for Europe, all member states would offer a minimum level of 30, is that megabytes per second broadband to everybody by the year 2020. One of the roadblocks to this lofty goal seems to be a lack of funding. Last month, over $9 billion earmarked for the broadband deployment was cut from the EU budget. Despite this major setback, EU Commissioner for the Digital Agenda, Neelie Kroes, is still pushing for hitting that 2020 target. In a speech in Brussels today, Kroes offered a plan that would use existing infrastructure and construction sites to meet the goal and cost. To meet the goal and cut costs. Why spend extra money and effort duplicating what's already there? She notes in her speech. So this regulation will ensure telecom companies know what is already out there and will open up access to it with fair and reasonable prices and conditions. Kroes also called for broadband operators and providers to work together and for the EU to get rid of the red tape that impedes progress. Conditions would be more transparent, requests could be made through a single point, and by default, decisions should be taken within 6 months. Finally, Kroes called for more regulations on new buildings that would require mandatory high-speed broadband. Hell effing yes, right there. Mandatory high-speed broadband.
That's right.
Stop putting out that cheap crap. Of course, this is just a draft proposal, which has still to make its way through the European Parliament. The wheels of bureaucracy are generally mind-numbingly slow. Yes. You know, we need this here in the U.S., but it keeps getting shot down. It keeps getting shot down.
That's because they realize they're going to lose money.
Yeah, that's like those towns wanting to put in the fiber optics, and the companies are like, no, you're stealing their business from us. Well, stop gouging us for it.
Well, Google is already doing it. Google's already doing it in Kansas. I'm moving to Kansas. I don't know about the rest of
it. I know, right? Right? I mean, because seriously, I mean, because where I live, I'm on the very, very outskirts of broadband, of cable internet. So I've got a slower connection. But if my town were to push for fiber optic, oh, I'd move into town. Good God. A lot of these small towns can't really get the faster internet because big companies won't come out to them. So they're wanting to put in fiber optic of their own, and it's being shot down. And it's like, really? Really? You want me to stick with that crappy stuff that I have to put in the window?
Yeah, we can do some amazing things with faster internet. I'm telling you, the next Bill Gates, he's 5 years old. He's just waiting to get the fiber optic.
They can bring jobs to people in these small towns. They could work for, we wouldn't have to, you know, you wouldn't have to hire out to these other countries anymore. You could bring them to these small towns, and they could probably make, you know, work for minimum wage. Or just a little bit
from home, because if you have fast internet, a lot of them could work from home. And we should be pushing for more telecommuting. We have an organization like that here in Houston, actually. For those of you who are in Houston, they have telecommute.org, where you can go and find work-at-home jobs because they're trying to get the air quality better. And this is how you do it. You give us faster internet so some of these people can work from home.
Really? Can anybody use that website? Because
I believe they have. Well, check it out, Ginger. I don't know.
Yeah, you're going to have to give me the website you gave me before again.
Okay, well, we're not using that one now because I'm on to the next one. I got to give a shout out to somebody's wife. Jennifer Stiebel Newsom. You are our new hero for the day. I love you. She's the wife of Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom out in California. She went out to Women in Games International, who I am an alumni member of. Well, I wasn't when you were international, or I may have been. I really don't know. That was a long time ago. But she spoke to gaming entrepreneurs and said, you all need to change how you're dealing with women in games. She says, rather than highly sexualized figures, and she was also at the GDC today. She said, you all need to create stronger characters. She explored what they're now being called or they're talking about a documentary called Film Misrepresentation, spelled M-I-S-S, which is highly critical of the media and entertainment industry's portrayal of women. And she said gamers have the opportunity to think bigger. And she says, we have an opportunity in gaming to teach young boys to value women, not to perpetuate these extremes of masculinity. Siebel was also joined on the panel by Belinda Van Sickle, who's the chief executive now of Women in Games International, and Sega's Pat Riley. The speakers noted that the game industry as a whole, women are still a rarity to find there. Only about 12%, according to them, are women. The gender imbalance was, of course, clear at the GDC, we're hearing, which is, it always is. Gender, you see a lot of girls where we were that were in the booth?
Yeah.
No. She says, of course, there was a relatively small number of women at the Moscone Center, and far too many of us were dressed provocatively to promote products, which can be a good and a bad thing. She says, of course, despite the impressive lineup of speakers, very few people attended this particular panel. But she said, but the panelists were optimistic about the opportunity for community building for women in gaming. Similar to the broader tech movement and movements like that have come before, there are new groups like Women Who Code and Women 2.0 are starting to gather steam. The female gamers are pulling together. Y'all be scared. No, I'm not kidding. So there is not a strong community of women.
She's only half kidding about that.
Half kidding. Yeah, we're coming for you, boys. Van Sickle was asked about the motivation behind starting her organization, Women in Games International. But she said the memberships had steadily grown and the industry has become more inclusive. What is going on with you, GLaDOS? Let Beyonce sing or something.
I don't know, but GLaDOS is all over that. GLaDOS is like, no.
I run this mother. That's what she said.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the optimistic view for the future was shared by Riley. He's a product lead for Sega, who was pleasantly surprised by the recent reaction to casting a female lead in a game that they've been working on. He said people embraced it. I believe that's Remember Me game is what he's talking about. Panelists said that the problem won't be fixed overnight. They agreed that more young girls need to be proficient in the STEM, S-T-E-M, family of subjects, and that stands for science, technology, engineering, and mathematics before we see increased diversity in the industry. Those of you out there, you got nieces and nephews, stop buying your niece the Barbie doll and get her a book on algorithms, because you know that's what mine's doing. Baby Natrix is not playing around.
Really? She's doing algorithms?
She can do basic algorithms, very basic. We don't get too complicated yet. But it's all algorithms is word problems with no numbers. You guys remember you do algebra. It's got a mix of both, but they're word problems, no numbers. It's, you know, you give them a condition. It's the basics of programming. You know, if every time you see the number 5, add 2 to it, and then and at the end of stop doing it if you see this. If you see the number 6, don't add. You know, those types of things she can do. Very basic algorithms. They can stem into 2 or 3 pages if once, you know, they get up there. But this is the type of structured thinking that you need to be a programmer. That's why they make you take it. And algebra as well. It's not the math. Everybody thinks there's a lot of math, programming and math. It's not the math that they're teaching you. They're teaching you the structured thinking of how programs work. Everything moves a certain way in programming. You know,
yeah.
You have to have this to happen before this happens. And if you put it into a context of a game, let's say you're playing Call of Duty, every time I press this button, this is going to happen. If there's no bullets, then don't do this. That's pretty much
it.
So not too much rocket science going on there, y'all, but we tend to get into the thought process of that women can't do it. So they can. I'm telling you they can. I'm so excited about this year at GDC. A whole lot of female prominence. Again, more talk about this later on tonight.
I can't wait to see it. Yeah.
It'll be a fun show later. We promise not to bash you guys too much, but
too much, just a little bit. But y'all like it. Admit it. You do.
Yeah, some of y'all like that mm-hmm. stiletto heel of oppression on your neck.
Yes, they do. Anyways, FanFest, Eve FanFest, talking about people getting together.
Yes.
Live streaming for sold out FanFest celebration offers standard definition and paid high definition options. CCP Games, the world's leading independent massively multiplayer game developer, has announced live streaming options for its sold-out annual fan celebration, Eve Fan Fest. It's going on April 25th through the 27th, so next month. Each year, thousands of Eve Online and Dust 514 players from around the world travel to CCP's headquarters in Reykjavik, Iceland, for several days of celebration of the Eve universe. You know what? I got Reykjavik out and I can't say universe.
Amazing, right?
All right. CCP will be live streaming Eve FanFest in standard definition for free on their Twitch channel, which is twitch.tv/CCP, and in HD for a one-time fee of $19.95 USD, or one Plex, which can be obtained on the Eve Online in-market game. And for in-game market, viewers will get their latest announcements.
Have it.
Yeah. Viewers will get the latest announcements from CCP panels, presentations, PvP tournament coverage from both Eve and Dust, and the famous party at the top of the world, amongst other unannounced events. All programming is highly produced and includes commentary and interviews from developers and players in the true Eve community spirit. The Eve FanFest High Definition stream includes 3 full days of high definition programming live from FanFest. Access to the HD stream of a series of live pre-FanFest interviews with CCP developers, and you can see the schedule over on twitch.tv/CCP, a digital copy of the FanFest Quaff t-shirt for EVE Online, which matches the shirt attendees receive, a digital copy. Anyways, a choice of one of 5 pirate faction rookie ships for EVE Online, the Angel Cartel Echo, Blood Raider Hematos, Dread Gurisis Tapin, Sanchez Nation Emulator, and Serpentis Violator. 5 copies of the Quaife Scout VK.0 drop suit for Dust 514, a flashy and effective drop suit for Confident Mercenaries. While the HD stream can be purchased through CCP or Twitch.tv, only viewers purchasing the stream through CCP's EVE Online account management system at secure.eveonline/fanfest/stream.aspx. Anyways, really long thing. I'll tweet it out later. We'll receive the in-game promo items. This year, CCP will be celebrating the 10th anniversary of EVE Online with a second decade theme focusing on the wealth of stories and successes of the first 10 years of EVE and its year-on-year subscriber growth. CCP will also look forward to the next 10 years of EVE and Dust with reveals, announcements, demonstrations, and, oh yes, parties. Yay. So if you want more information about this, fanfest.eveonline.com.
I gave y'all a boob bounce for that.
Hotness. Bounce them boobs. Bounce them boobs.
Little boob bounce. All right. I got 2 real quick. Wait, don't put up my grid yet. Don't put it up yet. I did want to put this up because we got to talk about this later too. Okay, so I don't know if he's new president. Okay, Frank Gebo is basically now talking about, he's responding to the conspiracy theories about SimCity, and I'm going to run this down real quick. He says, DRM is a failed, dead-end strategy. It's not viable strategy for the gaming business. He says, so what we try to do creatively is build an online service in the SimCity universe, and that's what we sought to achieve. For folks who have conspiracy theories about evil suits at EA forcing DRM down the throats of Maxis, that's not the case. He said, at no point in time did anybody say, you must make this online. It was the creative people on the team that thought it was best to create a multiplayer collaborative experience. He said it was really a case of building a completely connected world with an MMO-like infrastructure. He says it started with the team at Maxis that had a creative vision for multiplayer connected collaborative SimCity experience where your city and my city and others were working together for better or for worse and for right or for wrong. The lead designers and the producers and the programmers felt like they wanted to tell us a multiplayer cooperative city story around SimCity. So we had built a bunch of these, and you could have gone deeper and deeper into your plumbing and managing toilets and electrical posts, but we felt there was a deeper story to tell and a bigger opportunity to chase with an always-on connected experience built around your concept, and that's what we set out to design, and that's what Max has created and brought forward into the marketplace. Of course, when Lucy tried to say all this, she said it was a little bit of a chip on her shoulder. Apparently, you all were pissed off at her. I was too. I said this was not the time to be sassy, Lucy. You should have said, you have to be express some humility. I liked the idea you were trying to put forth. I just don't like it. You didn't offer the option to not do it. That was my biggest gripe. Make it so that I have a choice. I may not want to play with Ginger. Her city may be dirty and she's got a bunch of trash, and her crime district is way out of control. I want to be able to block that off.
But Corey.
Oh, you like it. Okay. Throw up my grid. Throw up my grid.
All right. I have got it up. Let me just hit the show.
Apparently,
there
I didn't
you
throw-
go. It's up.
Oh, yes. We've been keeping you up to date on this grid business. I hope you all are watching. Yes, they got some new gameplay video they sent over to us. Today, they've announced a host of new cars, locations, and racing clubs is set to feature in Grid 2 whenever
well,
it launches.
I've got it up. What's going on here? Hold on.
I see it. It just got to hit play, but they got to hit play.
I did play, but nothing happened. So there we go.
Looks like
there we go.
All right, the Grid 2 European expansion video that you're going to be watching focuses on European cars, clubs, and locations in the road.
Oh, God, that's sexy.
Right. In the road to race, both as your players speed through the tunnels, cut into sheer rock and tackle the climbs, plunges, and hairpins set amongst some of the most stunning scenery in the world.
What's that? Oh, my God.
Right. The street racing category is showcased in central Paris, which comes alive to the sound of a roaring engine as cars blast down its magnificent boulevards, slingshot around the Arc de Triomphe and the Tour de Eiffel, the Eiffel Tower. Anyway, track racing is represented at the Algarve International Circuit in Portugal, which makes its console debut on Grid 2, commonly known as Portimão Circuit. This state-of-the-art $250 million track was opened in 2008. And has quickly gained a reputation as one of the most exciting circuits in motorsport, which constantly undulating, what they call it, undulating asphalt in wide areas for overtaking. Additional European locations are set to star in Grid 2, includes Brands Hatch Track Racing, Barcelona Street Racing, and the Red Bull Ring Track Racing. The Grid 2 European expansion video, of course, you're watching, reveals the four touring cars in competition in the Super Touring Cars class, the Volvo S60 BTCS, one of the premium performers in BTCS, Volvo's flagship racer, goes wheel to wheel in GoMaz competition, a motorsport thoroughbred custom developed by GC Automotive in Hirsault in the south of France, with performance rival cars from global manufacturers. Additional touring cars in the game include the BMW Motorsport 320 TC. Oh my God, that's hot. The latest evolution of the car that Andy Pirol drove to two championships, and the Chevy Cruze touring car, which secured wins in both the WTCC and British Touring Car Championships in 2010, proving this American marquee could compete with the best in the world. There's a ton of other cars. You got the BMW E30, BMW Motorsport, Carter Ham Lola, Ford Focus ST2013, GoMaz Competition, McLaren F1 GT, Mercedes-Benz 190E 2.5 Evo 2, Mercedes-Benz SLGT, and the Pagani Huayra, Volvo S60, I'm running some of those cars' names, and they said there's even more than that they haven't even told you about. Every car is brought to life through Grid 2's groundbreaking TrueFeel handling system. I cannot speak, drawing on expertise from professional motorsport drivers as Codemasters' 15-year heritage comes forward in creating award-winning racing games. I don't know that I would play this, but it sure is pretty.
It is very pretty. Oh, my God. Look at that.
We got three minutes, Ginger. Can you squeeze in 3 minutes?
Might be able to squeeze in. I might be able to do it. Let me see it. All right, so what I got. Atari founder thinks Oculus Rift Google Glass are the next big thing. Atari founder Nolan Bushnell, who is very cute for an older guy, tells Ali Thing D that the smart money is no longer going into smartphones as the industry shifts to focus on new platforms. All the money's out. Do I really want to do a mobile game that's one of 300,000 where discoverability is everything? You really have to have a little more sizzle on the steak. Bushnell went on to say that companies that have succeeded in the past tended to be early adopters of new technologies and are willing to take risks on them. Bushnell thinks the next big things are Google Glass and Oculus Rift. I think the next big game opportunity is Google Glass. If I told you my ideas for it, I have to kill you. And Oculus Rift, the game business reinvents itself every 5 years. The last 5 years have been about the days of mobile gaming and short-form gaming, exemplified by Rovio with Angry Birds and Zynga with Farmville. And that is over. I kind of agree. Kill the Angry Birds, burn the farms. Even if those platforms don't wind up as ubiquitous, smartphones, Bushnell said that he would rather be one of 100 apps for Google Glass and one of 300,000 for iOS and Android. He's kind of got a point there. I like where he's going with that. And God, I got to hurry up and finish school so I can get into both of these things. Because, man, that Google Glass and the Oculus Rift are so sexy.
Right?
Sexy.
Oh, no, you don't need to say it like that. No, ma'am.
So sexy.
All right, guys, that is going to do it for us today. Thank you so much for sitting in with Lunch with Ginger and Corey. We will be back here later on tonight, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, talking about a whole bunch of stuff we talked about this week, but mostly this whole estrogen presence here at GDC. And if you don't show up, yes, we're going to talk bad about you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you
mm-hmm.
and you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a G mm-hmm. thing, baby. All right, we'll see you guys later.
Later, what's up? Yay,
later, boys and girls.